Every year, the South by Southwest Music Festival provides a showcase for many hundreds of musicians who travel to Austin, Texas from all over the world. But this year's festival was canceled due to concerns surrounding the spread of coronavirus.
And even though this year's festival isn't happening, NPR Music still found a ton of amazing new artists. To prepare for South by Southwest each year, we listen to countless hours of music in search of discoveries to share. I'm Stephen Thompson.
And I'm Linda Holmes. We're talking about discoveries from South by Southwest on this episode of Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. Here with me and Stephen is Glenn Weldon of NPR's Arts Desk. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Linda.
Well, we should point out that as you may or may not be able to tell, we are not in historic Studio 44 today or any of our other studios at NPR. We are in our home studios. We are working from home. We know that a lot of you are working from home. We're going to continue to bring you the show for however long we're in this different configuration. For one thing, it's going to be the three of us today and probably quite a bit for a while. So we wanted to make sure that we brought you some great things to listen to. And fortunately, it's the perfect time for that, because Stephen prepared the Austin 100. Stephen, take it away. You want to talk a little bit about the Austin 100?
Yeah, every year in preparation for South by Southwest, I listen to roughly 1,500 songs by artists who are playing at that year's festival and put together this big playlist of discoveries. Artists that I want people to check out that they maybe haven't heard before. It's cross-genre. It spans the entire world. And it's just a great opportunity for people to have a little bit of one-stop shopping, spend, you know, I insist they listen to all 100 songs, so spend 6 hours and 20 minutes listening to the whole mix. And my hope and my belief is that anybody who listens to it will come away from it with new favorite artists. So this is a great time of year to discover music, even though none of us are going to South by Southwest because it's been canceled. To me, that makes it even more important to spend time with these artists because they didn't have the lift that they might have gotten from actually playing at the festival.
Right. And so Stephen made sure that Glenn and I had access to these songs. And Glenn and I, as well as Stephen, picked a couple that we wanted to spotlight for you. If you like these songs, obviously share the news. We're going to get started with Glenn's first pick. Glenn, you want to tell us what your first pick was?
Yeah, I picked the song Sucker by Vistas, which in a world with the Jonas Brothers, probably not the best time to come out with a song called Sucker, but they did, and it's great. I mean, look, I'm not hip, I'm not cool. I used to be with it, but then they changed what it was. And I swear to you guys, I had taste once. I turned my friends and family onto bands. I was an arbiter of taste. But then, you know, whatever happened, age, decrepitude, senescence, but not for nothing, actually. And I think this is probably true for a lot of folks. Podcasts, they are all I listen to anymore when I'm working out or walking the dog or doing the dishes. The music I do listen to nowadays, I would classify as, well, what if Eurovision, but even cheesier, right? What if Eurovision had even more glitter and fire? What I'm saying is I need a hook, I need a beat, I need power pop. And I listened to the Austin 100 on Spotify, which presented a bit of a challenge because we are a Pandora household. So I had to listen to basic Spotify, you know, the Spotify with the ads and the inability to skip songs, which was very frustrating, but ultimately was kind of character building because it forced me to not to skip songs. And so I found a lot of songs in my top 10 are songs I would have skipped otherwise. And I'll be honest, I hit shuffle through the Austin 100 to start it. And the first thing the universe chose to send me was this series of melancholy, soulful mewling. And I was like, nope, for a whole host of reasons, including I was trying to work out. And also, you know, the world, I was like, get thee behind me, Stephen Thompson. This is not what I need. I need a hook. And then when the universe provided the hook of all time in this song, Sucker by Vistas, I was in. So, Stephen, that song is giving me, in terms of, not in terms of instrumentation, but certainly in terms of melody, a little Lightning Seeds. Do you agree?
Oh, sure. That's an interesting comparison. I hadn't thought about it. I mean, it's a little bit more of like kind of a guitar driven anthem, but just the hooks. The song is just a nonstop charm offensive. Just everything in it is just engineered to dispense joy. I am completely all the way in. Also, I'm a sucker for a Scottish accent in a song, and they bring the Scottish accents, so I'm completely and utterly here for it. I think this song is a complete joy.
Yay, well done. Well done, Weldon. So we're going to go next to my first pick, and it's funny how much Glenn's reactions to all this sounded familiar to me, because I too started listening to some of the songs from the Austin 100, which of course Stephen chose when we were all still going to work normally and going outside and hanging out together normally. But in the current environment of some isolation and all that stuff, I had the same reaction, which was like, nope, no sad music, no like moaning. I too gravitated toward upbeat pop type of stuff. And I chose a song called Love Song by Girl Gang. So as you can hear from listening to that, it gives me all my kind of like high energy. It gives me my like dance around the kitchen. It's giving me all my happy vibes and my happy girls singing. And I love the fact that it's just called Love Song. Stephen, this is an instant classic for me.
Yeah, I think I was really excited to discover this band in the process. I'd never heard of them before. They're from Yogyakarta, Indonesia. And I'm really impressed with the way that Girl Gang, and you pronounced it the correct way, it's G-R-R-R-L. I'm impressed with the way that Girl Gang brings together kind of a few different retro sounds to come up with something that still feels fresh. I was hearing a lot of, you know, we talked about Scottish bands when Glenn's pick. I'm reminded of a lot of kind of Scottish indie pop bands in this sound, kind of Scottish indie pop college radio bands of the 80s, mixed with a little bit more of a garagey kind of girl group type harmony driven sound. And so what you get is this kind of joyful, spiky, kind of conversational sound that I found really sweet. And then when you pick apart the lyrics, as buoyant as they are, you still get little streaks of darkness, which I appreciated. I found this band very, very charming. Can't wait to hear more. And was really excited to, unfortunately, I was really excited to see them at South by Southwest. You know, one of the great things about South by Southwest is it's bringing bands from all over the world. And you don't necessarily get an opportunity to see a ton of Indonesian bands touring through America. So I really, really hope they come back soon.
Yeah. Stephen, why don't you give us your first pick?
One area where it really felt like South by Southwest had stepped up in 2020 was bringing great music from Africa. So several of my favorite discoveries were from Africa and this kind of Afropop song that is really starting to cross over to the U.S. Rima feels like an absolute star to me. He was on one of Barack Obama's playlists last year. You know, he's definitely a rising star. He's popped up on a magazine cover here and there. His sound is very current. You know, it's mixing pop music and trap, kind of more traditional Afropop sounds. So when it all comes together in the song Lady, you're just hearing hook after hook after hook and just so much charisma. My baby from Colorado. Odora,
Well, and you also pointed out that one of the interesting things about Rima is that his career is not kind of this very predictable, like a label discovers you, you put out an album, they put out a single. It's like he's already incredibly famous as an Afropop, as you say, superstar, but has not put the full length album out yet.
Yeah, and he is a superstar in Nigeria and in other parts of the world. But then there's this process of trying to cross over to the U.S., which is such a cultural driver in its own right. I mean, several of the artists that I was most excited about that I put on the Austin 100, people like Yemi Alade and Abisa Kade, you know, these are artists who have large, large followings, but are still finding their footing as like global superstars that they have the serious potential to be.
Right, right. All right. So again, you know, share these songs with your friends. They're all on Spotify on the Austin 100. And Glenn, what is your second pick?
My second pick is a terrific song by Jonah Mutano called Shoulders, because it's not always about pop grooviness for me. Sometimes it's about sexy, sexy times. And when I heard Jonah Mutano's voice, which Stephen just strikes me as a shockingly open, very tender male voice, just slithering through these verses, I was like, yes, ma'am. Again, this song is called Shoulders.
You could be anyone, anyone. You could be anyone. You had me with just a shrug. How are your shoulders, love? How are your shoulders? You couldn't get closer.
And Stephen, when I listen to the lyrics, which are about noticing someone on a subway car and imagining a life together, and having the trigger of the song be their shoulders, that spoke to me for a number of reasons. That seemed an unusual peg to hang a song on. He keeps coming back to this line, how are your shoulders, love? Which is the question of our times. And then I read what you wrote about him, and I was like, huh, gaydar works musically.
Yeah, Jonah Mutano, he was born in London, raised in Uganda, and as you know, in Uganda, homosexuality is very harshly punished, and Jonah Mutano lived closeted for a very long time. He's now based in LA and has kind of documented his coming out process in his new batch of songs. And they're so beautiful. As you said, Glenn, God, what he's doing with his voice and just the emotion and the relatability of what he's conveying. This song, to me, it lands right at this midpoint. Like, to me, the most obvious comparisons are like the vulnerable side of Frank Ocean and the kind of sleek, like really ballad-driven singing style of Khalid. To me, I hear this song and I think this could be very, very popular. This is a great song. This guy's terrific. I've listened to a couple other of his songs in kind of prepping this list, and he's terrific. This is a great pick.
Yay. Great job, Glenn. I loved that song, too. And I was not surprised that you picked it. I liked that song, too. And my second pick, I feel like I am so on brand with these picks. I don't feel like Stephen can be even a little bit surprised. He's been picking music for me for many, many years. My second pick is a song called What'll I Do? And it's by the group Nobody's Girl. So that to me has your kind of like country pop, Dixie Chicks, like it's a bop, but it's like gentle. It's sort of soothing, but also upbeat. And I loved everything about this one, Stephen.
Yeah, this is a really great pick. I love this song. And I think Nobody's Girl is a really good example of like when you bring together veteran singer-songwriters and have them work together, sometimes you can get this kind of forced supergroup thing where everybody feels like they're recording from a different city. Sometimes you just get this cocktail of really skillful singer-songwriters who complement each other wonderfully. Nobody's Girl is three kind of veteran Austin singer-songwriters that I've been following for a while now. A singer named Grace Pettis, one who goes by the name Betty Sue, that's one word, Betty S-O-O, and then Rebecca Lobey, who, if you are a hardcore viewer of The Voice, you might remember Rebecca Lobey as on a season of The Voice. And they come together, as you said, Linda, with this sound that is country and folk and pop and just this totally, these harmony-driven, big, grand choruses, this great cocktail of kind of joy and defiance and just high-spiritedness. As you said, Linda, this is a bop.
Yeah, like it very much. Like it very much. Stephen, your second pick, the last in our roundup of six, is a song that I will tell you right now, I almost picked. So cue it up, buddy.
Yeah, this wonderful, wonderful band from New Zealand called Yumi Zuma. Among other things, there's a lot going on in the world right now. It is also springtime, or at least the beginning of springtime. And to me, this band sounds like springtime. Let's hear a little bit of the song, Cool for a Second. So Yumi Zuma plays a style of music that often gets described as dream pop, which manages to be very evocative and very vague at the same time. In the case of Yumi Zuma, it just means that it like floats along. In the Austin 100, I describe it as floating along like a dandelion spore on a spring breeze. And that's just the kind of imagery that pops into my head.
If you do say so yourself.
If I do say so myself, it's just such a sweet and refreshing sound. You just feel better listening to it. Yumi Zuma formed in Christchurch, New Zealand, but its members are kind of scattered all over the place. One's in London, one's in New York, one's in Wellington, New Zealand. But there's still this incredible chemistry to their music. And it's just a band that I like I've said about other things that we've been talking about today, that I was really excited about experiencing live, because you don't necessarily get a chance to see a lot of New Zealand bands all the time.
Yeah. That's a good, like I said, that's a good one. It was the last one I heard on the Austin 100, and I was almost like, oh, I gotta change all my picks so I can pick this one. So I was very, very happy that you picked it. So, listen to some great tunes on that Spotify list, and you know where you're gonna be able to find all of the songs that we picked in our newsletter. It's at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. Make sure to check out the Austin 100. It's at npr.org/Austin100. And if you want even more musical discoveries, make sure to subscribe and listen to the All Songs Considered and Alt Latino podcasts. You know some of those folks from this show as well. When we come back, it's going to be time to talk about what's making us happy this week. So come right back.
This message comes from NPR sponsor StoryPoint Wines, maker of StoryPoint, a new wine brand who believes that wine and storytelling are the perfect pair. Much like a good podcast, StoryPoint builds layers of interest into their wine to create a bold, velvety taste profile in every bottle. Discover why StoryPoint received Wine Enthusiast's Best Buy Award. Visit StoryPointWines.com/happyhour to purchase. As a special offer to NPR listeners, shipping is included in your online order.
The following message comes from our sponsor, Chipotle, whose new queso blanco is made with milk sourced from Wisconsin farmers like Brianna Handel. Running a small farm isn't easy, and Brianna has seen many people leave the industry because of financial challenges.
I know so many older generation farms that are still so far in debt, and then they're just passing it on to the next generation and hoping they're going to get out. Well, they probably have to get into debt themselves to get started, and I don't want that for my kids.
To learn more about how Chipotle wants to help bridge the economic challenges farmers face, go to chipotle.com/farmers.
Welcome back to Pop Culture Happy Hour. It's time for our favorite segment of this week and every week, maybe more than ever. What's making us happy this week? Glenn Weldon, what's making you happy this week, bud?
All right, well, as an asterisk at the top here, this thing cannot qualify as a happy yet, but I want to get it out of the way because it simply must be noted that Cats can now be streamed on iTunes and Amazon. And look, I hope it never comes to it, but, you know, maybe by week three, just knowing it's there is kind of strangely comforting. I think it was best enjoyed as a group experience. There were a lot of rowdy Cats screenings. I have a very strong feeling that when people kind of revisit it on their own, it will strike them very differently. So don't revisit it on your own. Watch it with virtually with friends, you know, text each other while you're watching it. Set up a time to do it so you can experience the horror together. Okay, but what is actually making me happy this week is Agatha Christie's The Pale Horse, which is streaming on Amazon right now. It stars Rufus Sewell as this London jerk who begins to suspect that these witches are targeting him, witches from the very English-sounding fictional village of Much Deeping. It's a two-part movie set in 1961, so there's some great period details. Sewell wears some really fun tailored suits. So it's part familiar kind of cozy British mystery, but also part folk horror. So there's these pagan elements that kind of get weaved into the whole British upper crusty, stiff upper lippy tone. Great performances. Sean Pertwee has a small part as Chief Inspector Lejeune. He's always great. If you want a more buttoned up British Wicker Man or Midsummer, that's what we're dealing with here. So that is Agatha Christie, The Pale Horse on Amazon.
Thank you very much, Glenn Weldon. All right, Stephen Thompson, what is making you happy this week?
Yeah, so in addition to the joy of having the Austin 100 out in the world for people to experience, I should also call attention to the wonderfully bizarre experience of interviewing Harry Styles behind the tiny desk about his Green Bay Packers tattoo. Sometimes life throws you strange curveballs, and I was there in the room as Harry Styles was performing his Tiny Desk concert, which has since been published at NPR.org, and I talked to his people. I said I'd really like to talk to Harry Styles about what the deal is with his Green Bay Packers tattoo, and ended up doing this wonderful kind of impromptu little interview that culminates in us chanting Go Pack Go the way nature herself intended. If you've ever thought of Harry Styles, ever thought of the tiny desk, ever thought of me, ever thought of the Green Bay Packers, and you wished they were all in one place for four very strange minutes, that's Harry Styles talking about the Packers at the tiny desk. What could be making me happier?
That is wonderful. I have to say, if you haven't had a chance to see it, that is a wonderful little video. What is making me happy this week? I want to first mention that, as you may or may not have heard, Universal Pictures is making some of its movies available for home viewing much earlier than they were scheduled. And that includes both Emma and The Invisible Man, both of which we have covered on this show in recent weeks. What I heard was that the suggested price was $20 to rent it at home, which obviously is quite pricey for an in-home rental, but it's a decent bargain if you were planning on going out, particularly with more than one person and seeing it in a theater. So depending on how you see it, it's either steep or a steal. I think you will be seeing more and more of that as time goes on. But what is really my main thing making me happy this week, you know, one of the things that happens with the fire hose of content that we all experience these days is that it is very hard to find a pause where you say, okay, I am going to remember the things that I have meant to catch up with or that haven't been available on streaming. And now maybe they are, but by the time they are, I forgot all about them. One thing that a lot of us are experiencing right now is a pause. And during this pause, I got talking to people about some of the documentaries that I really love that are out there in the world. And I discovered, much to my shock and surprise, that one of my favorite documentaries that has been missing from streaming for ages has come to streaming. And it is called Spellbound. It is about the National Spelling Bee. And every year when the National Spelling Bee came around for years, I would gripe about the fact that Spellbound was not available on streaming. Where Spellbound is available is on a service called Tubi, T-U-B-I. It is free, but it has ads. I watched Spellbound again the other day, and it was an absolute delight. So keep your mind and heart open to both things that maybe you've forgotten to watch or haven't gotten to watch, and also services that maybe you're not familiar with that might be worth a try during this time. So that's Spellbound on Tubi, T-U-B-I. That is what is making me happy this week. Also, we should mention that we are having a poll available. It closes this Sunday, as you hear this, at 9 p.m. Eastern, and it is to choose a show for us to binge watch and talk about on the show. And there's a set of choices based on basically previous crowdsourcing that we did. There's a poll. You can find the link in the newsletter or on Twitter or on Facebook. We will make sure to share it again. Again, it closes on Sunday, so if you're hearing this early in the weekend, hurry up and get over there to offer your answers. And that brings us to the end of our show. You can find all of us on Twitter. You can find me at Linda Holmes. You can find Steven at I Dislike Steven. You can find Glenn at GH Weldon. You can find our producer, Jessica Reedy, at Jessica_Reedy, and our other producer, Mike Katziff, at Mike Katziff, K-A-T-Z-I-F. Mike's band, Hello Come In, provides the music that you are bobbing your head to right now. So thanks to you guys for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And of course, thank all of you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. Hope you're doing okay. If you have a second, subscribe to our newsletter. It's at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. We'll keep trying to bring you lots of extra recommendations over there in the newsletter. And we will see you all right back here next week.
This week on NPR's Invisibilia, a woman with a strange superpower.
I have this ability, but it's not something I can just use, because that's not fair. That's intruding into other people's privacy.
What do you do when you can see part of the future?